thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I'm only going to read a few verses. So the book of Colossians, New Testament, little book of Colossians, and Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If you're looking that up, I'll be speaking tonight on the biggest little word. The biggest little word. Sounds a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? The biggest little word. Colossians chapter 3, just four verses. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. O Lord, add the blessing to the reading of his precious, infallible truth. Before I enter the Word of God, I'll just refresh one little thing we said this morning. Yes, things have changed, but the church will not be in some sort of flux. We, as an eldership, corporately decided that the church will be continuing to move forward and to progress in God and to do his will through fellowship and evangelism. So we will not be reluctant in that, but we will move forward, and there will be various things also starting. I know that we are now in holiday time as well in respect of families going on holiday, and I know that there are also those away at special events such as Summer Madness and things like that at the moment too. And then there are some things that are just off for the summer period. But we will, in the next couple of weeks, hear of other things that will be starting again in the church. And we trust that together, we can go forward and see God's kingdom advance together. Colossians 3, the biggest little word. If then you were raised with Christ. The passage begins with those striking words. If then you were raised with Christ. Some little words can be immense in their far-reaching effects. Some little words can be absolutely hinge words upon which turn large matters, just like little hinges turn a large door. And this passage begins with if then. The word if is possibly the biggest little word in the world. It's a pivotal word. It's a word that changes the whole course of a topic or event or decision. The word if can determine the course of a person's whole life, in fact. It is a word that determines life or death, a heaven or hell in the life of an individual. If you're saved, you're ready for heaven. If you are not saved, you are not ready for heaven. This little word, if, is a pivotal word indeed. Now, consistency requires that believers live in conformity with the fact that they were raised with Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You who believe, you were raised with Christ, who is not only the object of our faith, but also is the source of our life. The object of our faith is dealt with in chapters 1 and 2. The source of our life is dealt with in chapters 3 and 4 of this little book of Colossians. If you are indeed saved from your sins through having placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then your faith in Christ has placed you in Christ. This means that we are in union with Christ and we are identified with Christ, which means that whatever Christ experiences, in a sense, we also experience. That is to say that Christ died. He rose again for our justification. And if we receive him as personal Savior, then we will die in a certain sense, but also be resurrected in a certain sense. When Jesus arose from the dead, we arose with him. His resurrection means that we have risen with him. We have conquered death. We are raised to a new life. Our old life in this sinful world is over. It no longer has claim upon us. We are raised in a newness of life with him. We are walking in newness of life, living a life that is dead to sin, or it should be, but alive to God, alive to righteousness, and alive to holiness. As Paul declared to the Roman believers, but if the spirit of him, that's Christ, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit who dwells in you. Romans 8:11. Are you saved? Has your life been redeemed from the sin that you were born in? The psalmist said, we are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. The scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each one of us born with an old sin nature. But if we have repented of our sins, received Christ as personal Savior by faith, if you have, then you are indeed risen with Christ from the old life that was dead in trespasses and in sins. We have been made the righteousness of God in him, says Paul. If then you were raised with Christ, then the apostle makes certain commands of us and exhorts you and I to live a life worthy of our new position in Christ. And so I want to look this evening at 3 points. The first one is 2 great commandments in our text. 2 great commandments. The first one is there in verse 1. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. The commentator Morgan states that the believer is to seek the things that are above. And he said the word seek marks an aspiration. It marks a desire. It marks a passion within us in order to seek these things. The mind has got to be set on them. The emphasis, though, is not on the seeking, but it is on the object that is sought. Seek him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, the scripture says. Have you ever called upon him? Have you ever sought him? As a Christian, are you seeking him? Jesus is in heaven, and one day we who have received him as personal Savior will be with him in heaven. And because of that, we should each and every day be preparing to go to that place. Just as, you know, if you are invited to a very special occasion, if you're invited, for example, to Buckingham Palace, like Paddington was, to have tea with the Queen, wouldn't you dress in a certain manner? Wouldn't you have certain etiquette that you would follow? Isn't there something of a radical change that would perhaps take place in the normal things that you would do there that you perhaps wouldn't do elsewhere? And so we, as the people of the Lord, yes, we should be ourselves to the extent that God has made us unique and he has made us individuals. Otherwise, we'd all just be robots and we'd all be very boring. But he's made us different, just as 2 snowflakes are not the same. So no 2 people are the same. But he wants us to be transformed to the likeness of his image, day by day transformation in our lives as believers. The believer is to begin striving to lay up treasure in heaven. Lay up treasure in heaven. What a statement that is, the Apostle Paul. What sort of treasure am I laying up in heaven day by day? Or am I simply living for everything that this world can afford to give me? Or am I actually laying up treasure? Looking for the land to which I am going, the kingdom into which I am in, but I am going heavenward, heaven bound. C.S. Lewis, who wrote, "It is he who thinks most of the next world that does the most in this world." To be heavenly minded. Seek those things which are above. John Tillotson said, "He who provides for this life but does not take care for eternity is wise for a moment but a fool forever." Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. But if I go, and he did, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Isn't it the case that have you ever wanted a kind of a lazy evening? Something where you just think to yourself, I'm really tired, and I'll tell you, I'm just going to go in a wee shower and I'll put on the dressing gown. And as sure as you do it, somebody rings the doorbell. Isn't that right? And you're not ready to meet and greet. But in this part of the world, we're saying you're doing a lot of greeting. But not in that sense of greeting the person. And you have to run like a hare and get some cute clothes on again. And then you come as if that was the way that you were always were. But you know, sometimes I think I can be like that with the Lord. You see, it's not who I am standing here. It's who I am in my home. It's who I am in my workplace. It's who I am every day of the week with my God and with my neighbor that matters. And in that order. Because if I am right with God in my daily living, in my heart, I will be right with my neighbor and my work person. We are heaven bound to live forever with the one who redeemed us. Seek those things which are above. That's the first great commandment there. Two great commandments. But the second one, set your affection on things above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your affection, or some versions say, your mind on things which are above. Set your affection. Set your affection. Not on the things of the earth. The word affection means your whole mind. To focus your mind constantly upon the heavenly things, not upon earthly things. Because I know for me, there are sometimes I sit down in bewilderment and I think, where have all those years gone since I was a teenager playing football? Or trying anyway. We're playing rugby a bit better, perhaps. Where have they gone? They are just, as Andy said this morning, they're just like a vapor appears for a little time or a mist and then just vanishes away. Just like that. Friends, we need to think eternity. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, says Paul. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's Romans 8, 5 and 6, by the way. When we accept Christ, God places us in Christ positionally. He begins to see us in Christ, already seated in the heavenlies and perfected. Hallelujah. And we will be perfected. Hallelujah. Because one day when we see him, we shall see him as he is. But my, we will be perfected totally. It's because of this glorious position into which God has given us that we should seek the things of Christ and the things of heaven. God sent his Son into the world to save us. And the death and the resurrection of Christ, it saves us and it justifies us. The glorious truth of salvation and justification should consume our thoughts and our praise all through the day long. Because I want to tell you, friends, there will be a day that will come to each and every single one of us. And we're finished in time and we'll be in eternity. We need to think about it. We need to prepare for it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Our natural bodies, in our natural bodies, we have to dwell in this world. That's why we're in this body shell, for this terrestrial dwelling. But it will deteriorate, and it is deteriorating. I know it. And I feel it sometimes. The deterioration, and I think, oh man, that'll be a hip joint later, I'm sure, and a knee, and all sorts of wee things like that. And you start to feel the creaks, and you realize that we are deteriorating physically. But praise God, there's always a freshness, there's always a newness in the spiritual life, because we know in whom we have believed, and we're persuaded that he will keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. And we're looking forward, glory upon glory upon glory, because it will be glory land, because Christ is there. Because he is there. For if, says Paul, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, there's a verse you could preach a whole sermon on, isn't it? In Romans 6, verse 5. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, if you have died to self, if you've repented of your sins and your sins and iniquities have been cast into the sea of his forgetfulness, if you have done with the old life, if you have risen in newness of life through faith in Jesus Christ, been justified freely, if, then we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Two great commandments. Two great consolations in this chapter, or these few verses, two great consolations. There's your two commandments that we read in those first two verses. Two great consolations. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For you died. That's the first one. For you died. What does Paul mean when he says we have died? When saved, we are to reckon ourselves to have died to the old man, the old nature, the old manner of life. Isn't that what water baptism is the very symbol of? That you go down and that you are buried to the old doesn't save you. But the blood of Christ does. But water baptism symbolizes that which has taken place, that you have died to the old self. And upon being saved in the spiritual sense, we are raised with Christ, and we are being raised with Him, and we will be raised with Him. Jesus is now in heaven and we are still upon earth, but we have the new nature. We have a new empowerment, as we said this morning. And it's because of this that we are to be like-minded as Jesus Christ. Donald Cantrell states in his commentary this: we are to be a group of people that are dead to this world and its system of pleasures and its plans. We can no longer find satisfaction in this world or in the things of this world. Our appetite has changed, and our new way of living is hidden in Jesus Christ. We are deemed as a treasure, and we are safe and secure as if we are hidden in our Lord. The church is so valuable to God that He has hidden us in the safest place possible. He has hidden us in His Son, and we are forever safe and secure. The life that we now possess comes from the giver of life, and we are near and dear to His heart. We are safe in Him. For you died. That's the first of the two great consolations. The second one is your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 3. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The idea of being hidden with Christ suggests not only the security of a believer's life, but that it also belongs in a very real and profound sense to the heavenly realm. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8:10-11. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? His righteousness. Hallelujah. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. When you're hidden Christ, Christ is the only life that God sees as living. Christ is your life in the eyes of God, the life in which you live. That's what Luke was getting at, writing in Acts 17:28. For in him we live and we move and we have our being, as also some of our own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. You are hidden in his life. Christ is the only life, the only body that is seen by God, and the one that should be seen by this world. I wonder, as we move through this world, you know, you get people sometimes and they'll say, isn't he queer and like his father? Hasn't he got a striking resemblance to his mother? Never mind, whenever you're dead, they'll say, doesn't he look quite like himself? And there's a strange thing, the way it turns around, isn't it? But I wonder, as the world looks upon us, do they say, isn't he really like Jesus? Ooh. I wonder, do they see the characteristics of the life of Christ, the life that we should now live? Is that what is seen? Or do they just see us? I always think it's the loveliest thing. It's the greatest commendation. It's the greatest award that you could ever get. When somebody just says to you, you're a Christian, are you? Somebody you've never met before, and they say, you're a Christian, are you? I just knew it. There's just something about you. It's the greatest thing ever. That to me is the greatest feeling that I can get. That there's something of Christ to be seen in me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, said Paul, Romans 12:1. Two great commandments and two great consolations. And then two great coming events, verse 4. And then we'll be through, and then we'll have tea. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So two great commandments, two great consolations, and two great coming events. I was going to title this wee one, Two Great Appearances, but then, of course, it wouldn't follow in a C, would it? two great commandments, two great consolations, and then two great, so I call it coming events. When Christ, who is our life, appears. Did it ever occur to you that you might never have to die physically and be buried? Wouldn't that be amazing? Sure, if we were to appear now, he said, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But I want to say to you, friend, in case there's anyone here tonight who's not saved, he's coming. He's coming to the air for those who know him, you know. That's it. He's coming for those who are his own. And this is promised by angels. Whenever the disciples were bewildered and looking around them, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Hallelujah. This is promised by Paul to the Thessalonican believers. The one great chapter on the rapture of the church. I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Let me ask you a question. What hope do you have tonight? Have you got that great hope burning within you because you know that if Christ should appear, you're ready? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. I think that's lovely. I think that's amazing. My, there's going to be a great reunion day when the Lord appears. And the graves will be opened, and the soul will come reunited. The body will rise, a new body, of course, a celestial body, not the old terrestrial full of aches and pains now, dear. No. Reunited. And we who are alive and remain, wow. The Lord himself. Oh, don't you miss that important word, himself. He's not going to send someone from the courts of heaven and say, look, you know what? Just go in and tell Bill that it's come on ahead. Or tell David. Oh, no. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The Lord himself is coming for me. Oh, I love that. There is going to be no miscalculations. There is going to be no mixed messages. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. The Bible clearly teaches us about the future coming of our Lord. In phase one, Jesus comes for his church. Phase two, he will come with his church. The church is to continually be ready. We are to continually be looking for his coming. In coming for his church, Jesus will bring forth the souls of all the saints that have previously died. There will be a great reunion day, the souls of believers and their glorified bodies. And Paul tells us, so shall we ever be with the Lord, never be parted again. Never. Christ shall appear. But the second great coming event is this. We shall appear with him in glory. End of verse 4. We shall appear with him in glory. It's a great day when the believers of all ages will be reunited to meet the Lord in the air. That's why Paul wrote to Titus 2, verse 11 through 13, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why I often say, they go to bed, perhaps tonight, Lord. Perhaps tonight. Perhaps the clouds will be rended with the brightness of his appearing. We will receive glorious bodies in a miraculous instant. Philippians 3:20-21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will do what? Transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Don't stock up an aging cream or anything like that. You might never need it. And when he comes, it'll all be ironed out. All be ironed out. Isn't that wonderful? Our transformation will be complete as we leave all corruption behind and are fitted for dwelling in the glorious presence of God and for the blessed place he has prepared for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As John put it, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Oh, hallelujah, like him. For we shall see him as he is. And I'm finishing tonight. If you have received Christ as your own personal Savior by faith, then the present should be lived in him and for his glory. The future is glorious as you will dwell in the city. Oh, the city where the Lamb shall be the light. There will be no darkness, there will be no night there. And there will be no need of artificial light because the Lamb will be the light. But if you reject him and continue to do so until it is too late, then it can happen. It can happen in a moment. Then you have no hope of heaven, but a Christless eternity in hell forever. And so, friends, tonight I can put before you, you either have an endless hope or you have a hopeless end. And the difference is all in the little word, the biggest little word there is, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died. Oh, surely, friends, it's the one thing we should know if we've really died. Died to the old things. For you children, death just means separation here, all right? The old life should be, the old things should be separated. Death's always separation. And you were born in sin, separated from a holy God through that sin. But Jesus came, died on the cross, and through his finished work on the cross and shedding his precious blood, he bridged the gap. He created the bridge so that you could come by faith through Christ to a holy God. Saved in an instant, he bridged the gap of the spiritual death, born in trespasses and in sins. If we live on this earth and Christ were not to come for his church, we would die. Again, a separation of our souls from the body. The body goes to the ground, but hallelujah, for the believer, it's absent from that body and is present with the Lord. And that's far better. And there is another death, and that is eternal death. That is separation from God forever. That's for the one who plays the fool and says, perhaps tomorrow, not just tonight, but perhaps tomorrow, or perhaps another day, or I'm not altogether convinced yet. But Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I go, you cannot come. If you die in your sins. There it is again, that little word, if. See, everything hinges on this little word. If you die in your sins, where I go, he said, you cannot come. For you died. This is another death for the believer here. You're dying to the old self through faith in the finished work of Calvary. Your life is hidden with Christ and God, safe and secure. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I'm waiting for his glorious appearing. What an important if that defines the direction of your life tonight. If you are outside of Christ, I want to say to you, you can come to him right now. That's why the hymn writer put it in those apt words that you can, that never, never grow old, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. If you're not saved tonight, will you come and receive him as your personal Savior? If you're outside of Christ, you can come now. If means that there's only one way or the other. You can choose life or you choose death. I implore you tonight, choose life. Choose life. That when he, the Prince of Life, appears, praise God, you'll be found in him. My heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.